Please. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the warmth that's in this building. We thank you for these people who come faithfully out, even in extreme cold weather. Be with those who are traveling a little later this morning. Pray that you keep them safe as they travel here. Just give us a good time of discussion during this hour, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first one on your sheet is, as you know, Jerusalem was recognized by the United States, in particular President Trump, as the capital. Significance about this is that it talks about in the Bible in Zechariah 12:3 that Jerusalem will be a burdensome or a stone upon the nations. Remember, even though he recognized it, nothing's moved there yet. The UN voted 128-9. With some abstentions, not in favor of what the president did. So you still have all those other countries that are not going to do that. I think the main key to this was back in the 73 was when Jerusalem became, in Israel's eyes, its capital, because at that time it was a divided city. If you remember that, at the 67 war, part of it was under Jordanian control and the other part of it was under Israel. It's kind of, it's unified now to where it's one city. It's not divided per se. The only place that is divided, continues to be divided, is the Temple Mount area, where the Jordanians and their army has kind of taken control or have control of that area. So Jerusalem is recognized as the capital of Israel. Guatemala has now come out and endorsed this, and there's eight other countries that have come out to endorse this. Now, the question is, are they doing it because they love Israel, or are they doing it because our UN secretary said that if we're going to watch you, if you vote against this, we're going to withhold money? They've already withheld $286 million from the UN, the United States has. Remember, we give the UN 60% of its funding. Not the government, you as taxpayers give the UN 60% of its funding. And what they're saying is, if you're not going to do things the way the American people want you to do them, then we're going to start withholding money from you. So that was one of those steps. The UN voted on this, what we talked about it. 128 nations voted against it. Doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just a vote that was taken to show the world's not in agreement with President Trump. In essence, the world's not in agreement with what God wants it to be. It's God's holy city. It's Israel's capital, always was Israel's capital, and always will be Israel's capital. There will come a time in the tribulation when it's not Israel's capital, per se, during that tribulation time. And I said Zechariah 12:3. So some of this we're going to go through rather quickly. The chapters of Ezekiel 38 and 39 are in progress as we speak. The Gog and Magog coalition is being formed. One of the key players that was out of it for a long time was Turkey. Turkey is mentioned in that prophecy, along with Iran and along with Russia. Those are the three main players. And if you look along the southern border of Russia, those Stein places are all Muslim countries. Those two will be involved in this coalition. At this time, it's the three of them. The three major players, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, are uniting. They're coming together. However, you can put off to the side where your note part is. At this time, Turkey is still in NATO. It's still in NATO. How long that will continue, I don't know. But it's still part of NATO. Both Iran and Turkey have said they want to rid the world of Jews. Okay, both Iran and Turkey have said they want to rid the world of Jews. And then Erdogan has threatened to wipe out all Jews. Erdogan is the president of Turkey. I know at one time Turkey was what Joel Rosenberg would consider a reformer, a country that was pro-Israeli. And yet, I always knew in the end that would change. It had to change. That's just biblical truth. It had to change, and it has. They're no longer an ally of Israel. You can see how this is all coming in. The pieces are beginning to fall into place. Okay, so Gog and Magog, chapters 30 and 39, I don't know in our Ezekiel study if we'll get that far. The rapture may come before we get to Ezekiel 30 and 39. It's a long way off, and the way it's been taking us to get through those chapters, it may take 2 years before we get there. So maybe the rapture will happen before that. So these countries are aligning, uniting, whatever you want to call it, to eventually that's what's going to happen. But if you understand Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's not until God decides to do it. God grabs them by the nose, so to speak, and pulls them in. That hasn't occurred yet. These are just things that are moving in that direction. Okay? Not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. No one's saying it. It's a progression. Everything takes time. You know, you think about it, 40 years ago, we wouldn't even dreamt about this. And as it keeps moving closer, we see, and if you understand the Bible, you begin to see how these pieces begin to fall together for this puzzle to come together to the end. Okay, the next one is a new false god. Jan's correct. It wasn't L, it's AI. You know, I guess I can't read capitalizations of I's and L's, but it's artificial intelligence is going to be worshipped. Okay, so an ex-Google executive has founded this church based on artificial intelligence. And it's growing. You can just imagine what's going on today. It's growing. And then all I put here is watch for this in the coming year. So just keep your eye on it. You can Google it and see it, but just keep your eyes on what transpires there. And, of course, this one's been going on for a while, the mocking of eschatology. People like Kurt, people like me, people like Jimmy DeYoung, Rob Congdon, et cetera, Andy Woods, all poked fun at because we spend time teaching on eschatology. That, why do you bother with it? Nothing's going to happen in your lifetime, so who cares about it? So we have that going on. It is more prevalent today, and I can say this, than it was 5 years ago. More prevalent today than it was 5 years ago. And we'll get to why I believe that toward the end of this, right? We look at some quote-unquote religious churches and what they're doing with their people. So more prevalent today than ever before. And of course, it's not just the prophecy part of it. The rapture is frowned upon, or it's taught it's never going to happen. Just never going to happen. And we'll get to why I think that is more prevalent today later on. So the mocking of eschatology. Turn to 2 Peter 3, 1 through 13. And we'll just take a look at. Second Peter 3, 1 through 13. He says, this is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. So, I take it if he was writing to me then, I didn't listen to him in the first letter. So I have to write a second letter to stir up my mind because of way of reminding me something. That you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or I'll put here, where is the promise of his rapture? Where is it? Hasn't happened. You've been preaching it for 40 years. Hasn't happened. So where is it? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I'll paraphrase this. If you believe in the creation, all that took place, the same thing is going to take place with this coming judgment. And his rapture is just as sincere as what the creation was in the past. That's kind of what Peter is telling them. Okay, that's what he's explaining to them. The next one, the building of the temple, the third temple, has intensified in Israel. Okay, especially now since Trump's announced Jerusalem as the capital, this building of this temple, the third temple, has intensified. Remember, the third temple is not the final temple. The third temple is actually the tribulation temple. Clothing for priests and utensils are being made at this time, if not, have already been made. You can add all of this off to the side of your notes. Priests have been identified by the people in the know, rabbis, etc., within Israel, who those priests are to take over this duty. That part is done. The Jews are being told to overrun the Temple Mount by their own rabbis. Don't be afraid. Go up there and overrun the Temple Mount. You can imagine what that's going to cause if that occurs. Experts now believe the temple service could be reinstated and all the elements would be ready. So they don't really need a temple per se. They could do the temple service right now. And that's according to Israeli News, their paper. All the elements are there for them to do this. Okay? The Mount Zion group has prepared the oil for the third temple. You got to have special oil. You know, you got to have special clothing. You got to have special utensils. All those things you need to do this, that's what's being done today. Then if you Google the Temple Institute, their ongoing project is to create the architectural plans for the third temple. They've already designed what it's going to look like. Okay? So this continues to grow, to blossom, so to speak, things that we know that a temple exists in the tribulation. That's why the Jews have to be in the land. Okay? That's why they have to be there. Remember, in this temple, the Shekinah glory, is it there or not there? It's not there. Okay? It's not there. Man's character now reflects end-time warnings. I don't have to explain that to you. You can see that all around you every day. Man's character now reflects end-time warnings. Romans 1, let's turn to Romans 1. And I want to start with verse 18. If you go back before that, God is talking about, people know who he is just by looking at nature. There's that whole concept of there's no excuse, they know who I am just because of nature and other things that God says within those previous verses. Here it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness? Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Pretty clear. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Seems like that's going on today, right? That just happens and it's okay. See, because it's been acceptable now, everything's okay. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And we'll get into that a little later about why do people stay in churches that they know is not teaching the right thing. And you can see right here, that's what he's saying to them. You may go there, you may not accept what they're saying, but yet you attend there, so in essence you do support what they're saying. And we'll look at some groups that happens with some of you that may have friends within those groups. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Okay, 2 Timothy 3. As you can see, all this was foretold. God knew exactly what was going to happen. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and suffering, such as happened to me as Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endure, and out of them all the Lord rescue me. We've talked about that. Just become one's a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be persecuted. And yet we have churches who teach that doesn't occur. And we'll get to those a little later. Indeed, all desire to live godly will be, here it is, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. I believe that goes on today more than ever. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not just the New Testament, it says all Scripture, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, excuse me, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Is that not happening today? And the scary part is, it happens within mainline denominations and churches. That's the warning. Okay, that is the warning of what it's like today. Like the days of Noah, the wickedness of man was great, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was kind of a paraphrase from Genesis 6:5. So these are the days that we're living in, that we're seeing, and that we're observing, and we're told to be able to discern truth from wrong. Not much on this one. Microchipping is becoming more accepted around the world. Very popular in Japan. In fact, it's on your notes there. Very popular in Japan. And I'm going to give you one here that you may not even think about. Your phone has a microchip. They know where you're at every moment of the day. You haven't thought about that, have you? Your phone has a microchip. I'm not saying the phone is, don't leave here and say, Evanish said the phone is Antichrist. I didn't say that. They know where you are if they want to find you. Your phone has a GPS system in it. How do you think you go do what you want to do when you want to be on your phone and go Google Map something? They know where you're at. So that is just as having this here. Some phones now, you can get the little app that you can go in and pay things off your phone. Just saying, it's the time we live in. And you know, as good as the invention of the internet is, it's become what? Very bad in another way. That's what the Bible warns us about. Men invent things, but yet they turn out to be evil as time goes on. And that's what they're talking about here. And this is just one more step in moving to a cashless society. Some people don't want you to be able to have cash. Some of you may not like it, you like your debit card. Well, it's moving toward a cashless society. It's got you so programmed that way. In reality right now, if you Google, cash is safer than your debit card anymore. It's safer than your debit card because people can scam your card. When you go to use it, they can, if they're close by, they can pick up the information right off your debit card. So, you know, that safety thing that they sucked everyone into, it worked for a while. Cash is safer than a debit card or a credit card too. But we're moving toward that cashless society, which in the one world government, that's what there is. It's a cashless society. Remember, all these things happening today are moving toward that one world government and the one world, I'm not going to call it the church, the one world religious system. That's what it's moving toward. Okay, it's moving in that direction. The EU is big into this globalization. Okay, they're big into it. You have most of the people in America, politicians, big into globalization, moving to a one world, or as the former President Bush has said, to a new world order. It doesn't make a difference if they're Democrat or Republican people. You had two Republican presidents talking about moving to a new world order. What do you think that means? It means exactly what they said. Moving to a new world order. We should know what that means. Okay, so it's moving in that direction. Evil is becoming more rampant. Okay, evil becoming more rampant. The occult is more appealing than ever today. Again, the occult. More appealing than ever. And I would add this, you know, even in Christian circles, the occult is more appealing than ever. Millennials are spellbound by the paranormal. Okay, millennials are spellbound by the paranormal. We already read 2 Timothy 3, so that's part of that verse there, verse 13. Okay? The next one, and I have a lot of notes here that you have to write on your side. So, lawlessness, moral decline, greed, and social breakdown is growing. The acceptance of gay and lesbian marriages. More influential today than it was 10 years ago. Transgender students out in California, as low as age 5, are being told they can be whatever sex they want to be. So if you're a girl, but you want to be a guy, you can be a guy. If you're a guy and you want to be a girl, you can be a girl. I know myself as an athletic director, some states have transgender rules for athletes where it's okay. A boy who is 6'8" who relates to a woman can play on a woman's volleyball team. Who has the advantage? Him as a woman slash man or the girls? He does, obviously. Okay. Absolute truth is replaced with relativism. We've heard that before. History books are being rewritten in California with an emphasis on gays and lesbians. History books. Speculations that some people were gay or lesbian. No proof. Just they're just going to put that agenda out there. Okay? Kids growing up without fathers. No responsibility. Let me go through this. And on the side of your notes, first one is I got this from Fox News. Ho, 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 what? Children book depicts Santa as gay black man. Says Mrs. Claus is now a mister in a new gay-themed Christian storybook for children that has CNN and the rest of the mainstream media all aflutter. They just all bought into this. The title of the book is Santa's Husband. Tells the story of a black Kris Kringle and his white husband living in holy matrimony at the North Pole. And it's written down to his children as young as 4 years old. Now, people, I have no problem with the black Santa. I don't. Why did they have to make him gay for? I asked this question at school with some of my black colleagues, and they had no explanation. They found this very distasteful. I'm going, are you kidding me? This is what goes on? I said, this is what's happening. Okay? That's one thing. Babies being born today, or should I, let me put it this way, 1 in 3 babies born arrive home with no father. 1 in 3. More than 10% of American children have one parent dealing with alcohol problems. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, it is celebrated on billboards, TV, social media, and in magazines. We see it all the time. It's just, hey, it's great, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is that according to this institute, that in 2012, 3.3 million deaths, or 5.9% of all global deaths, were attributed to alcohol consumption. And we have another one here. In Toronto, a hospital is LGBTQ inclusive. The birthing center shows married male couples coming in with a surrogate and having a baby. This is considered a normal family. Considered a normal family. We heard that here in our country. It's just normal. That's normal. Then victims with this are becoming the enemies. Think about the young girl who was killed out in California, San Francisco, by an illegal. They went after her parents. They were to blame for the person shooting her. And then he gets what? He gets acquitted. Something's not right in this world anymore, but we should understand that's the way the world is headed. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. One through seven. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you for the gospel of God amid such opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattery speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And I put that there so that guys like Kurt and other pastors who speak about these things, they've been entrusted to do what God called them to do. And so when you hear it, you should really pay close attention to what they're saying to you and not being caught up into this social okay thing or this politically correct thing. I can do what I want to do. It's okay because socially it's acceptable now. Or the part about really what's true for Terry isn't really true for me. Or should we just sit back, keep our head in the sand, and not say anything? Some will say maybe that's what we should do because really God's in control. Kurt speaks out. I know that. I speak out. There's nothing wrong with speaking out. That's what Paul is saying here. There's nothing wrong with speaking out. We don't have to accept what's going on. There's a difference, however, between not accept what's going on and saying I'm mandated to change what's going on. And we'll get into that a little later. So all these stats, I hope you got them down, the Christmas book, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely from the pit of hell. And yet it's accepted within mainline news people. It's a great thing. Oh, it shows diversity. It just shows diversity. Well, this didn't work the way I wanted it, but that's okay. Intensification of calling evil good. Some of these, to me, I did. They kind of overlap, but it is what it is. Example here, the best one I could find is Linda Sarsour. She's an Arab, quote-unquote, feminist, if you can imagine that. An Arab woman being an Arab feminist, if you figure that one out. She makes threatening comments about President Trump, and I mean, you need to read or hear what she said, okay? And yet, she almost becomes Time Magazine Person of the Year. So that's calling evil good. Good is bad. Evil is good. It's just changed, okay? The political rhetoric that continues to go on. Those who call evil good and those that say good things but yet is construed as being evil. Okay? And you can find this in Isaiah 5:20, but we're going to move through it because he says the same thing there. There'll be at that time those calling evil good and good being called evil. So it keeps going on and on and on. The terms peace and security being a heavy topic of discussion now. It was reported, and I looked it up on Fox News, that President Trump would bring peace and security around the globe. That's his agenda. That's what Fox News said that he would do. In fact, he had a quote here. The president has said, he has laid a pathway to peace and security in our world. Okay, now. Not saying he's the Antichrist. He's not. I don't believe he's the Antichrist. Okay, so. But he doesn't understand. True peace will only come when the Lord returns and sets up his millennial kingdom. That's the only time true peace will come. We can talk about it. We can have all the rhetoric we want to have. But until that time, there will be no peace. There'll be no peace. Just not going to happen. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:3. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. It's interesting what the Bible says. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. There'll be no peace. That's why when you see things occurring, don't get upset. That's just the way it's planned out to be. Okay? True peace only comes when the Lord returns and sets up his millennial kingdom. Okay, Western society has become post-Christian and neo-pagan. Christian society has become post-Christian and neo-pagan. How do I know that? You have mysticism within not just people groups, churches with mysticism. You have contemplative prayer going on. All these things were back in Eastern, are embedded in Eastern mysticism, heavily embedded. You have, they don't call it yoga. They put the word Christian in front of it, and that makes it okay. Christian yoga. I get into a trance, but yet somehow within that trance, I'm experiencing God. Well, how do you know you're experiencing God? That's an Eastern ritual thing to do. That's not a normal Christian thing to do, but see, we put buzzwords around. If we put Christian in front of it, it makes it okay. It makes it okay that I can do it. I can have Christian yoga. I can have Christian mysticism, Christian contemplative prayer. I can have all that. Okay? Let me read this one to you. This came from Nancy. The article is, "People dumping suburban churches going to cathedrals." Okay? They're giving up going to churches and going to cathedrals. And why do they do this, it says? It says the choirs are heavenly and bring a very special contribution. The architect of the building encourages spiritual enhancement. Oh, really? I guess this doesn't conjure up any spiritual enhancement in here, right? The cathedral brings with it a professionalism of worship. The cathedrals have schools and often are other community welfares. Cathedral has a certain kind of class, nicer brand of people. Okay. The cathedral offers a sense of belonging to a greater thing. I don't quite know what that thing is, but a greater thing. The cathedral solves the church's political issues for worshipers. The cathedral has many of staff engaged in various roles. Most of them are community roles. Okay? The cathedral provides, and I'm going to say this loosely, Christian and doctrinal security. And then it says here, the cathedral is a feel-good for many. And these are Pentecostals gravitating toward this. So, and we'll get into this a little bit, but you can see how this continues to pan out to that one world religion, okay? So much for that. So the atmosphere in here is not real conducive to worship, I guess. That's kind of sad. Okay. Meditation. We have that. I forgot to tell you last week that there's a church in Florida that teaches children telepathy. 4 and 5 years old. People, stuff I'm telling you isn't just in mainline society. It's going on within churches. That's the danger. Okay, that's the deal. We know society is evil. We have churches playing around and dabbing with this stuff. So a church in Florida teaches young children telepathy. Isn't that great? And then I put on here, a majority of churches have adopted these practices. I'll give you this one. Everyone here of Swarthmore College? It's a high liberal arts college, very well recognized, was a Quaker college at one time. Here's the new courses they're offering. Queering God. There's two of them. Queering God and God is a Lesbian. Courses that you take. Let's say that. It says here, one of the nation's most prestigious liberal arts colleges is advancing a quote-unquote queer theology agenda with hopes of destabilizing traditional beliefs about what the Bible says about gender and sexuality. Shouldn't surprise you. If they're pushing that agenda for society, why wouldn't they want to go in and change things in the Bible too to make it all fit? You have to understand, it all has a plan to this. These aren't lunatics, people. They're not lunatics. I think they're just nuts. It's a small segment of the world. It's not that small. And we'll get into why I don't think it's that small. Apostasy and mass spiritual delusion has intensified. Okay, so I'm going to get into two groups here. We have false teachers, false prophets, two groups that are on the move all over the world. These are the two fastest Christian moving groups in the entire world. I didn't realize that because I thought they were just a bunch of, I don't want to say it, people on the fringe. They're not people on the fringe, people. And what they're doing, to me, is heretical of what they're doing and teaching. But we'll get into it. We're going to get into it right now. The two groups. One is the Word of Faith movement. The other one is the NAR. And I know I wasn't going to have enough time to do this because it's already 10:40. So I want to just talk about this, just a little bit about the Word of Faith movement. They believe faith is a force. Okay? Faith is a force. In other words, the words we speak have power to create something. And they're not talking about biblical words. Don't think, oh, well, they're doing, no. They're not talking biblical things. And that if you're in this movement, you can believe that you can obtain health, wealth, success, and more if we simply have enough faith. So if you go over and say, oh, hey, Pastor so-and-so, how come you have all this and I don't? Well, you have less faith than I have. So that's how they do that. Even though you're paying tithing an outrageous amount to that church for him to live that way, you don't have enough faith. Okay? You don't have enough faith. Facts. I'll get down with the facts and then I'm done. It's known as positive confession. In other words, name it and claim it. That's what they teach. It's called the Word of Faith or Word Faith. It's the fastest growing segment of Christianity today. And the reason I'm spending so much time on these two particular ones is because both of them overlap like this. And the groups that they've taken under their wing is phenomenal. They're not some fringe lunatic group out there. They are doing exactly what they want to accomplish throughout the entire world, not just here in the States. It's sometimes linked with New Age and New Apostolic Reformation. It is linked with the New Apostolic Reformation, hands down, hands down. It grew out of the Pentecostal movement in the late 20th century. The founder was E.W. Kenyon, who studied the metaphysical New Thought teaching of Phineas Quimby. Okay, and you don't have this in your notes, but Quimby was the father of the New Thought movement. He was a philosopher, a magnetizer, a mesmerist, a healer, and inventor. New Thought holds, and we're going to close with this, New Thought holds that infinite intelligence, or God, is everywhere. Spirit is the totality of real things. Grab this one. If you want to get one note out of this, put this one down. True human selfhood is divine. See, we hear about them, but we don't know what they actually teach or believe. See, there's more to them than just what people think. True human selfhood is divine. Divine thought is a force for good. Sickness originates in the mind, and right thinking has a healing effect. So this mind science, where name it and claim it originated, combined with Pentecostalism, resulting in a peculiar mix of Orthodox Christianity and mysticism. And remember what I said when I went back, if you attend one of these places or you have friends that attend there, well, it's okay where I go to. No, they're supporting leaders who teach this stuff, who believe this stuff. And to me, if I don't believe what they're teaching, then I shouldn't stay. I don't care if I have friends going there or not. I shouldn't go there. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would stay in a movement like this if you know what's behind it. And you can see, when you start telling me that I can be a divine person, something's not right. But you know what? People like what? They like to hear that. That's why they're growing. Not just here, but over the entire world. We're going to close right there. And as you can see, I've got a lot more information to come with this. There's almost, I got 10 more pages of notes. You can see it in your notes. We'll get back to it in 2 weeks because I'm not here next Sunday. I'll be up in the UP freezing for basketball games. Thank heavens we'll be inside. I hope the heat works in the gymnasiums that we're going to be in. But as you can see, the reason I said again, concentrating on these two particular groups is because how powerful they are. They're bigger than what we think. And like I said, I always thought they were kind of loony-toony, but they're not. And when you see the groups that are involved with them, you'll be shocked. That's the only way I can say it. I'm not going to give it away. Nancy's already probably, she's already researched this too, so she probably knows the groups I'm talking about. I can see why things came into being now. And I can understand how it's all panning out now. But it took some research of mine to dig into this for you guys to find out what it meant. So we'll get into this in 2 weeks with the rest of the faith people, and then we'll get into the NAR, and we'll see where they kind of overlap and what they're doing throughout the whole world. Okay? Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this insight, and just thank you for you telling us that we can expect these things to be going on toward the end. We just pray for continuing discernment. Be with us now as we have this little short time of fellowship. Be with us in the morning worship service, that we will clear all this stuff out of our minds and take in what Kurt has to say to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.